So here we go. Oh, it's a little tough doing this, you know? It really is, because you really get to see me and all my screw ups, you know? And the truth is, this is the only way it works. So I want to go back to that sexual abuse. I told you it became as if it never happened. And years later, this person was an uncle. And many years later, my mom called me. It was morning. It's probably about 8 o'clock in the morning. And she said, "Your uncle died. He had a massive heart attack, and he died. It was sudden. Immediately, he died." And I said, "Oh man." I said, "Okay. Thanks." And I called Tom, and I said, "Tom," I said, "my uncle died." And I started to cry, and he said, "Oh man," he said, "my God," he said, "you're crying? You're crying because he died?" And I said, "Yeah." And he said, "I can't believe you're crying." And I said, "I know." I said, and I didn't know why I was crying. You know, I was just weeping, weeping, weeping. And later on, as I thought about it, about why I was crying, I just had so much compassion for him. I mean, the man died in active alcoholism. He was so crippled by alcohol. I mean, he'd lost people in his life. He didn't have hardly anyone showing up in his life anymore. And I just had so much compassion. It was unbelievable. And the compassion had grown and deepened. And I remember when one of my aunts died, a couple of my aunts had died before he did, and I was able to go to him and just tell him with the first one, "I'm so sorry that, you know, she died. I'm so sorry." And then the next one died, and I was able to give him a hug and tell him I was so sorry that she died, that my aunt had died, his sister. And I just felt so bad, you know? And what had happened was I had become loving. That's all it was. I'd become loving, and I could see the child of God that he was. And I just was filled for that child of God and had so much compassion for him that all I could do was weep for the sorry life that he had. And I just said a prayer, and I said, "God, thank you for receiving him. You know, thank you for receiving him, because he's been suffering a very, very long time." Let me tell you, when I first looked at this, I never thought that something like that was possible. Never in a million years did I think that I could be capable of something like that. And I wasn't. I'm not capable of it. But with God, everything's possible. Which, am I all in? Am I all in with God? And in what areas am I not all in with God? You know, because they are there. So that's that story. And you know, I share it just because hopefully it might be of help to anybody who might need it. Then the other thing that I want to share with you is there's a couple, but this one is I'm going to share with you. And this is about having had three abortions. And I got to tell you that this morning when I was thinking about doing this workshop and knowing I was going to talk about this, I was like, "Eh, I don't want to do this." And in fact, I called my sponsor a few days ago and I said, "You know, I think maybe I shouldn't share on this stuff because, you know, I don't know if all my kids know, you know, some of my kids know, I don't know if they all know. And then I thought, that's BS, man. If one kid knows, they all know, you know, because believe me, they're talked amongst themselves. You know what I'm saying? So if one knows, they all know. And she said, well, I want you to talk to this person who has shared like deep, really deep stuff that she says, I don't have some of the stuff you've got. Talk to this person. And I'm like, okay, I'll talk to him. So I got on the phone and I talked to this person. And I knew full well, I knew before I even called my sponsor why I didn't want to do this. I was using my kids as an excuse to not have this dialogue. And I got on the phone and I was telling him, you know, and then I'm, you know, looking at talking about abortions. And it's not the first time I've done it. It's just the first time I've done it in this kind of a setting. And I just said, you know what? Here's the truth. The truth is I'm afraid of what people will think. I'm afraid of how people will see me. I'm afraid of being judged by people when I tell them and they find out that I've had abortions, that I've had three abortions, not just one, but three abortions, and what they're going to think about me. And so I really don't want to share it. And then I started laughing and I said, I guess I've answered my own question, because the truth is either God is everything or God is nothing. I'm either all in my relationship with God or I'm all out. You know, at this point, man, you know, really, what have I got to lose? So I just had to laugh at myself and my need to maintain some sort of image. You know, it's like, who cares? I mean, the people who care, who cares? And the people who are like, it's a benefit. There we go. So anyway, I was before I was married to my Tom, I'd had an abortion. And when Tom and I first got together, I had an abortion. Then I had my youngest daughter, and then I had another abortion afterwards. And I always felt such tremendous guilt. And none of this ever came out in a four-step. It wasn't in a four-step, but it was when I sat down and write my eight-step list that I realized that I'd had these abortions. You know, what's the harm I caused? And I had these three little spirits that I had aborted, and I felt so bad, you know, felt so bad. Now, I haven't been a member of a church of any sort since I was 19, I guess, you know, and I mean, I'll go to various religious services. It doesn't matter. I don't care what they are. I go to so many of them, and I love to be a part of them, and I get whatever I, you know, can and whatever is of use, take what I like and leave the rest, right? And so, but it went against my upbringing when I was a kid. And I kept thinking, I mean, this was the main reason that I really thought God was going to punish me and send me to hell, was for these abortions I had. And I sat with it, and I sat with my sponsor, and I listened to all sorts of stuff, but I wasn't willing. I didn't know how to amend aborting these spirits. And so I sat for a very long time, and I would go to God in prayer, and I'd go to God in prayer, and I'd go to God in prayer over and over and over again. And the first thing that I had to do, of course, was to forgive myself. I had to forgive myself. I knew that God no longer had, I knew that the relationship I had with God, God didn't have this as a hold over me. He wasn't going to throw me in the fires of hell for doing this. I couldn't forgive me. For the longest time before this program and being in this program for a while, I was one of those persons who was so easy to forgive. I forgive in an instant. And it wasn't that I forgave. I just didn't want to have the distance, have the separation. I wanted peace. I wanted peace at any price. So I'll say I'm sorry. I'll say I'm sorry. I'll say it doesn't matter. And what I didn't realize at that time was, in doing that, I was devaluing myself. I did not respect myself. I didn't think I was important. Let's just go back to some peace, to some quiet, so that I'll feel okay. I feel okay. I don't have this hanging over me. So it would like, I would just dismiss. It wasn't even forgive. Forgive wasn't even the word. I would just dismiss it and quit thinking about it. But I would think about it and I would still have that. Oh, that angst. You know, and it was with in having these abortions that I really had to come to a place of forgiveness. How do you do that? I had to continue to deepen my relationship with God, deepen my faith with God. So I had, in prayer, what I got was to have a ceremony. And in this ceremony, I was to get, at, you know, we have in my Hispanic culture, I got some Native American culture, I got some Hispanic culture, I got a little of this, I got a little of that, I got a little of everything. But in the Hispanic culture, we have these things in northern New Mexico that are seven-day candles. And on these candles, there's a picture of a saint, and the saint is like for a specific thing, and you know, there's different ones. And so what I got was, when I sat in quiet, was to get one of these candles, and each one was to be a specific candle for one of these specific spirits that I had aborted. And I was to light them and to keep them lit. And as I lit them, what I was supposed to do was I was supposed to welcome them into my heart. Now, here's the thing. I knew deep within me what the sex of each one of those was. I knew one was a boy and I knew two were girls. And there was a part of me deep within me that I knew their names. I named them. Somewhere within me, I had given them a name. And so I asked my husband, I asked Tom if he wanted to be a part of this ceremony, because he had been involved with two of them, and he said, yeah, I will. And so he did. He sat with me. And because I talked to my sponsor about this before I sat in ceremony, because I prayed so much, I knew within me that these spirits knew that their time was not yet to be on this plane. I knew that. So I had forgiven myself, and I knew that what was, and that it was all okay. It was all okay. So Tom and I sat this Sunday morning in the sunroom that I have in Santa Fe, and I put the candles on this little table that I have. And as I lit each candle, first of all, before I lit them, I invited God in. We said a prayer, and Tom and I invited God in to be a part of this with us. And then as I lit each candle, I called each spirit by name. And when I had lit all three candles, I just spoke to him, and I spoke to him from my heart. I spoke to them from my spirit to their spirit. And I said, there is not a day, hardly, that has passed that my arms have not ached to hold you. I love babies. I absolutely love babies. They are so precious. They are so close to God. My God, you can practically see the wings on them still, you know? And I just said, I've ached to hold you. I've ached to hold you. And I want to invite you to be present in my home. I welcome you. I welcome you. And we said some more prayers, and Tom said some stuff, and we just thanked them. We thanked them for being in our lives and however they were a part of our lives. And then, you know, we left the candles burning and we went on with our day. Now, this was a Sunday. The next day, my oldest daughter was coming with her daughter, who was at the time 6 months old. And she was coming for the funeral services of a family member of my first husband's. And she asked me if I would stay with her. Yeah, like that's a hardship, right? Staying with my grandchild. I said, absolutely. You know, take your time. Don't hurry. I'm happy to be here. And I'd already asked her if she wanted me to go with her so she wouldn't have to go alone. And she said, no. She said, I'm okay, but if you'll watch the baby, that's fine. So I did. Now, this baby, her daughter, had some, turns out this child is on the autism spectrum and has some stuff going on, but she also had some vision problems. And so when you looked at her eyes, typically babies will look in your eyes. You know, you'll look at their eyes, they're drawn to the eyes. Her eyes were such that they could not focus on your eyes. Her eyes would focus on the hairline. That's typically where her eyes would go. My daughter left her with me. And I went into the sunroom and I sat with her. I remember I sat on the rocker, on the wicker rocker, and I sat there and I was just rocking her. And next thing I know, I'm looking at her eyes. I'm looking deep in her eyes. And for the first time ever, she's 6 months old, and for the first time ever, she looks into my eyes. And we held each other's gaze for moments, you know? For a long, long moment. What came to me in that moment was, doesn't matter whether you believe this, I believe this. I thought, this is one of those spirits. She is one of those spirits. And I truly believe that. I truly believe that. I believe that if we are open, if we are aware, if we are in tune with the presence of God, we have the ability to see these spirits come back into our lives. It was not time for that spirit, but here was time. And so I was talking to a friend of mine who's he's Native American and he's very steeped in tradition. And I was telling him this story because he's the one who I was talking to about God. I don't want to do this. You know, what would they think? And he said, it's so important that you, when you talk about this in doing this workshop, that you really speak to the ceremony you did, because ceremony is so important. And he said, ceremony really does bring about healing. And when I told him about my granddaughter and her looking into my eyes and that I believed that she was one of those spirits, he said, yeah. He said, I think so too. He said, I really believe that. And it doesn't matter what anybody believes. I just know that for me, it is my truth. It is my truth. And in making those amends to that little one, to those little ones, to those little spirits, I no longer, you know what the word I'm going to use is? I'm going to use the word harbor. I no longer give safe harbor to those feelings of guilt and shame. To give safe harbor means to put them in a protective place. And that's what I did with those feelings of guilt and shame. and my inability to forgive myself. I gave them safe harbor. I no longer had to do that. I was free. I was free. Truly, truly free. I've had so many more experiences. I mean, I didn't think I was going to be able to fill an hour talking about this thing of forgiveness. Seriously, I could have a lot more, many more hours, but we won't, and I won't do that to you. I will tell you that I'm either all in my relationship with God, or I'm looking for me continuing to show up as God in managing my feelings, my emotions, my thoughts, my reactions. And I'm never free to truly be who I am. Because if there's something between me and another person, me and another spirit, there's something between me and God. Now, I will tell you that another thing that has happened as a result of being able to, quote unquote, forgive, make as if it never happened with the sexual abuse, is that I have been in a position where I've heard fifth steps of people who have been abusive. And I've been in a position where twice, one was a woman and one was a man, who I knew very, very well. I've known them very, very well throughout my years in recovery. And I was able to hear what they had to say and give them direction that they needed so that they could be free of what they had done, the harms they had caused, and make amends for what they did. There is so much freedom that is possible, and that has been possible for me, if I hadn't been willing to see these places within myself where this darkness was, I never would have been able to allow the presence of God in and have a true experience of freedom. Freedom of what? Freedom to be authentic, freedom to be real, freedom to be responsible for where I'm truly responsible. Freedom to be willing to develop a deeper relationship with God. Because the deeper I develop this relationship with God, the deeper I'm able to develop this relationship with each one of you. When my mother passed away, she was like so devoutly Catholic, it was ridiculous. I'm going to just focus on this piece. The person who did her service, the Monsignor who did her service, at the end of the service said, now is the time that if Susie, that was my mother's name, if Susie did anything to any one of you here who was there in the church, if she did anything to cause you harm, now is the time to forgive her. And he gave everyone a moment. And then he said, now is also the time that if you did anything to Susie to cause her harm, now is the time to ask her for forgiveness. Thought that was going to be it. He went on to say, now if there's anything that you've done to anyone, or anyone has done anything to you, now is the time to offer or to give or to receive and ask forgiveness, regardless of who they are. Now, he said this to do this with anyone. What if many of those people weren't there? I really believe that when we speak from our spirits and share from our spirits, we touch each other. We touch each other. Be it here on this plane, or be it in another plane, whatever that plane may be, whatever you believe. This thing has no limits. There are no limits to what this program for me has to offer. Am I all in with God? You bet. You bet. I want all in. Do I believe God has brought me as far as God as possibly can? He's done a pretty damn good job this far. I want more. I'm greedy. I want more. If it's been and gotten this good, yeah, give me more. I think that's all I have. And it's been a joy to be with you guys, and I'll turn this back to Yvonne. Thank you.